much for your giving. Praise the Lord. We'll use it to help people. Oh, yeah, we need to pray for Karen Reynolds. She's in intensive care. She's pretty bad shape. She's got double pneumonia. Her kidneys are not working properly. Her heart is bad, giving her some problems, as well as her sugar. I think they said her sugar was, 500? I don't know what it's supposed to be. What's it supposed to be, Doc? Dear God. Hers 500. And so that's high, isn't it? So she had to go to the doctor. She failed and couldn't get up out of the floor. And so when they found her and they took her to the hospital, and she's in intensive care. So we need to pray for her. Amen. Everybody knows Karen. You remember? Yes. Lucky sister. So. Yes. Father, we thank you this morning as we set ourselves to believe you. We thank you, Lord, we're reminded of what you told us, that you're our healer. Yes. We know you're the God that healeth us. You're our Lord, our healer. You made us, Lord. You fixed us. You made us right. Now, Father, I thank you for Karen. And as we lift her before your throne, Lord, we ask you to touch her body this morning. We ask you to cause your healing power to go through her. We ask you, Father, from the top of her head, the soles of her feet, to make her well and make her whole. We know that you're a loving, kind, generous God. We know you have mercy upon us. We ask for mercy and grace, Father, to fill that hospital room, to be around the nurses and the doctors. And Father, I thank you for a miraculous healing for her, that she'll raise up and enjoy her life. For the rest of her life, Lord, she'll walk upright before you and live long and prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So we thank you. Thank you for that. We pray on Tuesday nights. We get a lot of prayers answered. We prayed for Ken Homer. You know Ken. You know Elaine. For her husband, you know, he had some trouble, and he had that colostomy bag, and he had to go have that reversed back, and had a lot of scar tissue there and inside, and he was really concerned about it and thought he'd have to stay in the hospital a couple of weeks. And so he was pretty sick, and so he went back to Birmingham to the doctor and went to the hospital and thought he was going to have to be in intensive care and all that. So we prayed, and we said, you know, and declared he wouldn't be in the hospital more than 5 days, if that much, and prayed he'd have a quick recovery, and it surprised the doctors and surprised even him. Well, I think he's in there 2 days. Hallelujah. Or the third day he went home. Hallelujah. And the doctors are shocked. And the doctor said, I must be a good doctor. Well, you know Elaine, she is in the room. And said, well, you are. But we know a better doctor. And so, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, you got to understand, when we get to heaven, or when we get into the millennial reign, the Bible says in the millennial reign, Jesus will rule. He'll rule over the whole world. And he'll rule with a rod of iron. That simply means he's not going to put up a politician. And when they come in and try to vote on something, he'll say, shut up. I've already voted. Sit down. And that's what that means. He'll be a tough ruler. Well, he's tough now, really. People don't know it. But in the millennial reign, there will be universal prosperity. That's what everybody's trying to have now. It's what all the leaders are trying to have. They say socialism is the answer. Well, it is, except one thing, man. Man gets in it and greed, and it becomes communism, and it becomes, you know, dictator. Then we're oppressed and poor. It don't work, never has worked, never will work, long as man has something to do with it. But when Jesus comes, things will work. Amen. And there'll be universal prosperity. There'll be universal health. You won't be sick. The Bible says a child will just come into puberty at 100 years old. Wow. Good God, you think about all that time with a teenager. Lord Jesus. I never thought of that. But they'll be good kids then, you know. Amen. But we'll live 1,000 years, rule and reign with Him. So everybody will be healthy. Everybody's needs will be met. You won't have to stand in faith. You won't have to believe. You won't have to fight the devil. You won't have, because Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And all you got to do is just ask for it and you got it. Well, that's how God works. But now, you see, if you pray now and ask for something, God still hears you. It came to Daniel, and after 21 days, Daniel prayed and fasted. And the angel showed up and said, listen, Daniel, we heard you the first day you prayed. We heard you the first day. And we've been trying to get the prayer to you, the answer to you. But on the way here, we had great opposition in the second heavens. That's where Satan's kingdom is. It's his throne room. Satan's kingdom is not in hell. Satan's not in hell. His throne's not in hell. He's not there yet. And his kingdom is in the second heavens, above the atmosphere. You got three heavens. You got our atmosphere over the earth. You got the second heaven above. That's where Satan's kingdom is. Then you got the third heaven where God's throne is. And when you go to heaven, when you die, there's a tunnel that you go through. Howard Pittman talked about it, that you go through, go to heaven. That tunnel is, it's a safe passage through that second realm. You just ride an escalator all the way, wherever how it is. But it's safe passage through there. And so he said that there was great opposition. I even had to call Michael. I had to even call in some help and some support to break through. Because we fought. And he said, if you hadn't stood in faith, if you'd have quit believing, we'd have had to stop. See, faith is what causes God to keep working. So the devil, he's the one that resists your prayers from being answered. He's your opposition. If you stand and believe God, say, I'm going to believe God for healing. Now I see here that God said He'd heal me and God can do anything. And I'm just going to pray that I'll be healed, or I'm going to pray that my children will be healed, or I'm going to pray. Well, God hears you. He hears you. There's not any reason He don't hear you. Because the Bible says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord doesn't hear you. But it means if you got sin, so you repent, God hears you. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, you may find help in time of need. Amen. He hears you immediately. But see, there's opposition. Satan comes immediately when all his demons. See, Satan's got a government. And it's run very tight. He's run very tight, his government is. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 talks about that government. Howard Pittman saw that in operation, total operation. And how that government is run, Satan is a counterfeiter. Satan set his government up just exactly the same way God set his government up. You see, Satan was not always been Satan. His name in heaven was Lucifer. And he was second. He was head of all the angels. He's number one man. He's head of all the angels. And it seems to hint, the Bible does, that he was in charge of praise and worship. The Bible talks about three angels. top angels. And there was the messenger angels, which Gabriel is in charge of. Because everywhere in the Bible you see a message coming through, Gabriel. And so then there was Michael. He was in charge of the warring angels. Everywhere you see war being carried out, or angels carrying out opposition, Michael's in charge. You see that in Jude. You can also see it here in Daniel, where Michael was in charge. And each one of them, I believe, had a third of the angels. And Lucifer, old Lucifer, talks about in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, talked about Lucifer. And he was in charge of praise and worship. He had a third of the angels. The Bible says he was the most beautiful angel. Said he was so beautiful, and he was filled with beauty, and he had the ability within him. Said the music came out of him, pipes and all kind of music came out of him. And some people read that and think he had pipes sticking out of him and all that. And I don't believe that's what that is. I believe inside of him he had the ability and great talent. See, I've seen people who could play the guitar or music, they just had it in them. Yes. I mean, they didn't take lessons. They just could hear it. They just knew it. They call it playing by ear. They could just hear it and do it. And some of the greatest musicians never took lessons, can't even read music. You know, I always tell about when I was in Vietnam one time for almost a month, we stuck out in a little old metal box out in the jungle there, and an operation was a front out there, and I was in this little old box. It was a signal, a communication thing, with a little metal box. It's solid steel. It was about 10 by 10, and it's operated full of all kind of communication devices and things inside it. We had antennas, and we were hid out there, and we was setting up a forward operation for a front we was about to run, and so they'd send us out there first. And we was out there in a forward place a lot of time first, because you see they had radios and stuff. Those radios had to depend on antennas, and we didn't have satellites and all that stuff. And we'd have to go out there and set that up, and we'd hide and guard that and do things. And so I was out there one time with an old fellow named Pop Carter. I call him Pop Carter. He'd been in the Navy for, I don't know, about 12 years. Then he got out of the Navy and went in the Army and been in the Army for years. And he was a sergeant. And he was Maybelle Carter's first cousin. And he could play the guitar, I mean, like nothing you ever heard. Somehow or another, we wound up with a guitar out there. And we'd get in that box, you know, and he taught me all kind of chords. We sit out there and, you know, but that's as far as I ever got. I knew all the mechanics, but I couldn't bring it together. I couldn't flow with it, you know. And I didn't have that ability, see. If you got it, you got it. If you don't got it, you don't got it. You can't teach a rooster to crow. He's a rooster. He'll show you he's a rooster. Just hang around. After a while, he'll start crowing. It's in him. Amen? So Satan had that stuff in him. But he was in charge of praise and worship. And it seems to be, the Bible hints, that he was on the earth. He was stationed here. The earth was his headquarters. Job said when the sons of God began to appear before God at a certain time to give an account of what was going on in the universe, that he was there. So the sons of God, the angels of God, appeared before God at a certain time to give an account of things that's happened not only in the earth but the universe. It gives a hint of that in the book of Psalms. We don't know how this universe laid out. We don't know what's on other planets. All we see is in our few planets that we see. But it goes far beyond what we can even imagine. It keeps going on and on and on and on. So out of the realm that we're in, there's others. God's a big God. So we'll find out all this stuff. The earth belongs to man. The earth's the only place there's been redemption. Earth's the only place there is man. But it seems like Satan ruled over the earth. His earth was his domain. But all his angels, they got to bragging on him all the time. They'd say, man, you're the best looking. I'll tell you, we look good, but you bad. Now you look good. And he said, I do look good, don't I? He started believing his press, you know. You do look good. I do look good. Wow. And he said, you're the best praise and worship. You can sing better than anybody. You can play better than anybody. You sound better than anybody. We just admire you so. And all of a sudden, he began to listen to all that. And for the first time in the universe, the number one root of all sin appeared, called pride. Pride filled him. And he said, you know, I am that good. I'm a better singer than all of them. I'm a better musician than all of them. I'm a better preacher than all of them. I look better than all of them. And still yet, you find it a lot in teenager in school called peer pressure. We all strive to be the number one or look the best or be the best. We in school, you know, Satan always hunts the best looking, the most talent, and he begins to put something on them that we call anointing. He touches them. And all the kids want to be like that. And so that person becomes a wrong influence if you're not careful. You have to be careful who you want to follow, why you want to follow them, why you want to be like them. It's called pride, arrogance. A lot of times, great athletes be like that in school because everybody aspires to be a great athlete or a great singer or all that. And this thing gets on people if we're not careful called pride. And Satan was lifted up in pride. And he thought, and his angels got to talking to him, and he said, why are we listening to God? I mean, does he think he's the only one that can come up with a good decision? Do he think he's the only one that can rule? After all, I'm ruling all of this. I'm running all this. I'm doing all this. What stops me from running the universe? I'm running the earth. I'm running all these things. I've got all these angels in charge of me, and I'm doing a really good job. He was a top man, just under God and under Jesus. Top man. So he thought, why not go on up there and overthrow God? Why not go on up and just kick him off the throne and take over? That's exactly what he thought. How can you be so dumb? Very easily. Start to think too highly of yourself. Mama said, you can get struck on yourself.
That's true. That's right. Absolutely.
Mama said, don't get struck on yourself. Thank you. You know, look at me. Thank God where I grew up, everybody kept you humble. Whether they meant to or not, you know. You didn't get above your raising. But Satan really thought that he could overthrow God. He really believed that. We saw how he did it over in when a fellow by the name of Korah. showed up exactly like Satan did with Moses. Moses was leading them, and Korah was one of his top men as an elder, one of his top men, one of his great leaders. And the Bible seemed to hint he was some kin to Noah. Noah. What was his name? Moses. One of them fellows, you know. Moses built the ark, didn't he? Swam across the Jordan on a log, I think. No, that's Joshua. Well, anyway. So Korah was one of Moses' top men. And he came one day, and they started talking, a bunch of the elders in the tents. They started talking to each other. This is one of the things they said. You know, Moses thinks he's the only one that can hear from God. He thinks he's the only one can get a word of God. He thinks he's the only one that can make a good decision. And after all, I don't like the way he's running this. He's ignoring the people. He's doing this. He's not, you know, visiting like he's supposed to. He's not doing right by the money. He's not doing right by the choir. I hate them songs they sing. It's too hot in there, too cold in there, too this. And it started. And Korah got him a bunch together and said, let's go down and talk to him, to the pastor. Hey, Pastor Moses, come out here. You think you're the only one can hear from God, don't you? You think you're the only one. And Moses, it broke his heart. And he fell down and he said, uh-oh. I know what's about to happen, man. Oh, gosh. And Noah fell on his, I'm going to teach on Noah. Whatever he was, Moses fell on his face and began to cry out to God. He said, oh, Lord, we got a mess here. We got rebellion. Exactly same thing Satan did. Lucifer. Same thing exactly. Pride. God said, well, I'll tell you what. You tell them all to come down in front of the tabernacle in the morning and just call them all out there and let them get on one side. You get on the other side and I'll settle the argument. So they showed up. God said, I heard y'all having a dispute here. Well, he's not the only one can hear from God. I'll tell you, we're capable. Very well. They were very capable. Very capable. I'm preaching better than he can. Probably. I had a guy tell me that one time. I said, you're exactly right. You probably can. Smarter than me, more educated than me. And got better delivering me and all that. And I said, but there's one thing you don't have. You're not called. That's the only thing. And so they sat there and God said, well, here's what I'm going to do. And God opened up the ground and they all fell down into hell. Yeah. Argument over. And God said, listen, I took that man out of Egypt and I took him over into the wilderness. And for 40 years, I took him through every Holy Ghost school, everything you can imagine. I tightened the screws up on Moses and I got him ready for the job. Now, you just step back and leave him alone. I'll deal with him. And God dealt with Moses one time. He started grumbling. And God wouldn't let him go over into the promised land. Well, Miriam and Aaron that was Moses' sister and brother. They got so upset at Moses because he married a black woman. Serious. He married an Ethiopian, a black woman, and they got so upset with him, she wasn't Jew. Wasn't the fact she was black, she wasn't Jew, but she was black. She wasn't a Jew. And that's prejudice. And they said, how dare you? God said, tell them to come down here. Back into the office. God said, I heard you like white. You like white? Myron looked and she was white. She had leprosy. God said, you like white? Have it? Have you some? You know, if you're a leper, you turn white. Real white. And Myron decided real fast she didn't want white. Moses, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. So he did. She got healed and said, now go home. You got plenty to do, Myra. After all, you was even honored with the office of the prophetess. Aaron, you're the over all the priests. You think it a small thing? God told Korah and them, said, you think it a small thing? What you do? See, Satan is always at work. In the home, at the job, at the church, he's always at work, and he always has this one thing. He does what he always does. Tries to call division, turn against each other. He pits married people against each other. That's what he does. And he thought he could overthrow God. So he took all of his angels, and man, they got together and they charged. You know what Jesus said? He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now that's pretty fast. He ran into the throne room and said, hey, God, I'm going to take over. Yeah, you're going to take over and over as you fall. And God slapped him all the way through the back door. Slapped him through the screen door of heaven. Knocked him all the way to the earth. And Jesus said, I was there when he fell. I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. And said he, when he hit the earth, he burned up. He is crispy when he hit the earth. No more Lucifer. Then he became Satan. Then he became, all of his angels fell with him. And all those angels, then they became the ruling force in darkness. And when you show up in the Garden of Eden, there was, God created one little patch of ground, safety zone. And around that was protection. No one could get in, don't know how big it was, but it was the Garden of Eden. And as it says in Genesis 1:1, as Satan showed up, he says, and you read over in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, he says, I was in Eden, the garden of God. Before, now that was before God created Eden for Adam and Eve. So Satan said, I was there long before on the earth. So he didn't fall from heaven and come down to earth when Adam and Eve was created. He was already here. And the Bible says that the earth was without form and void. But if you read over in the book of Psalms and the book of Jeremiah, it says the earth was, at the beginning, was without form and void. It was planted, replenished, and there was a great flood came. The flood of Noah was the second flood. When Lucifer fell, the earth went into upheaval and it was destroyed. And God said the earth was without form and void, and he created a plot of ground. He set man in it. He said, now you replenish. Re means to do what, fix it like it was. And you replenish this earth. Adam took over Satan's original job. See, we were created to praise God. We took his place. You and I are here to praise him. We are a holy nation. created to praise Him, to bring forth the praises of our God. We make Satan so mad every time we praise God. We make Satan so mad every time we stand in authority, and every time we submit to authority, and every time we're willing to follow God in His government. But Satan came in and he tempted Eve. Didn't tempt Adam, tempted Eve. And Adam had a choice then after Eve fell. He knew exactly what he was doing. Adam did. He saw that Eve had lost it and she was going to be kicked out of the garden. And he loved her more, too much. He said, I love her. She's part of me. I can't let her go by herself. I can't let her go by herself. I love her so much. And he chose Eve over God. He said, God, I'm going with her. See, Adam, the Bible tells us in Timothy, Adam was not tempted. He knew exactly what he was doing. He made the choice to go with Eve. Eve didn't know what she was doing. Satan, he showed up through that serpent. And what that serpent looked like. And she was tempted and she gave to Adam and he ate. And they hid from God. And God showed up and said, Adam, where are you? Or why are you there? And he said, I was ashamed because I'm naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Where did this shame come from? What's on every human being because of the fall is shame. We're so ashamed, even as Christians, we can't approach God. You have to get over that shame. Intimidation. Well, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I'm worthy to ask God for anything. I don't feel like I'm worthy for Him to do anything for me. I don't feel like I'm worthy. Wait a minute. Jesus made you worthy. You're no longer ashamed. You had shame before you was a Christian. But after that, you no longer have shame. That's a lie of the devil. You are worthy. He made you worthy. So Satan became our great opposition. In every single thing we do, the Bible says he's the God of this world system. He's the God of this world system. He owns every system. Banking system, music system. Every system he owns, he's a God of it. That's why Jesus said, now, I'm going to establish my kingdom on this earth. I'm going to make another nation, a holy nation with my people. And he told Adam, he said, you go in this garden, and he said, you cause it to expand to where it will cover the whole earth. But he failed in that. And Satan defeated him. Don't know how long Adam was on the earth. Don't know how long. But anyway, Satan won. But then came the second Adam, Jesus. And he tried the very same thing on Jesus. He said, hath God said? First question that was ever asked mankind, Satan asked him. Hath God said? Did God really say that? Is that what God really meant? People who preach today, and I've heard come out of seminary and say, well, the Lord wants to heal everyone. Well, now, wait a minute. Hath God really said that? Is that really what that means? And we'll teach everybody is supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with speaking in tongues. Well, now, wait a minute. Hath God really said that? Is that what that really means? And so we have great big dialogues. And you can read books, and I've listened to tape series where they explain all of that away, that the Holy Spirit was given for a very short time, and it went out with the apostles. Healing went out with the apostles. Miracles went out with the apostles. Hath God really said that? Twisting the word just enough to make it not effective. Not rightly dividing the word of truth, and so Satan is still the master of deception. Hath God really said? So he showed up to Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, if you're really Him, prove it. Jesus said, I don't have to prove nothing. Get out of here, devil. Well, and if you'll worship me, you don't have to go through what you've been sent here to do. I know you've come to take the kingdom back, and there's going to be a lot of warfare. I know that, and I'm going to come at you everything I've got, Jesus. I'm going to hit you with everything I've got. Now, you don't have to go through all of that. All you have to do is just admit that it's mine. Just submit yourself to me, and I'll give it to you. I'll give you all these authorities of the earth. After all, they're mine to give. And Jesus said, you get behind me, devil. The Word says. Adam didn't quote the Word. He could have quoted the Word to the devil, the serpent, and he'd left. But he said, you get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. And Satan left him for a season, and he never showed back up and never had one bit of power over Jesus until he submitted to him at the end, because he said, now the time has come for me to die. Now he turned himself over. He said, you can't. He said, the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. There's a scripture in the Bible says Satan can take some people at his will to do his will. Well, how in the world can he take a Christian anytime he wants to do his will? Because they have submitted themselves to that. They have chosen to be gossipers and backbiters and rebellion. And Satan can use them anytime he wants to. I've seen this in churches. Seen it in this church. Anytime he wants to try to cause trouble, used to. There's not many here now. Run them all off. But there used to be always a few. Anytime Satan wanted to stir up stuff, he'd knock on their door. And it came from the same ones every time. I knew it. And in churches, you can ask pastors and all that, did the same thing ever. It's always that same little one or same little group. But I go after them. You, who you think you are. But who do you think you are? No, it ain't gonna happen here. Satan. So when he set up his kingdom after he failed, he knows exactly how God's kingdom works, such organization. And how everybody was submitted to God and everything. So he set his kingdom up like that. And he started with principalities, powers, on down the line. And Howard Pittman saw that government. And Howard said, Satan's government operates by fear. Said that he noticed one thing in that kingdom. He said, there is no love there. No love. What they do because of fear. They're afraid of Satan and afraid of the princes, or which is the warring demons, those that fail with him. But God's kingdom works the opposite. It works with love. We submit because we love. We don't rebel because we love. We follow because we love. So every time we pray, or every time we start to stand for something, every time we want to believe God, every time we start following God, here comes all this demonic activity. I'll prove you. I'll see. If you believe that. It's not God does it. God doesn't withhold from us. He said, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Bible says he finds pleasure in your prosperity. He gives you power to get wealth and all these things. It's not God. But when we start to believe God and says, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Kath and I, we were so poor and broke, and I got a hold of scripture and said, I'm going to do it that way because I'm not supposed to have a job and I'm not supposed to make it that way. I'm supposed to make it this way, and this is the way I'm going to make it. So I began to give and stand and give and stand. And when I was offered jobs and good jobs, Kathy and I, where our lifestyle would be better, I said, nope, I'm going to go God's way. If this don't work, then I'll go the other way, but I'm going God's way. That's the way he said I'm supposed to eat out of the field that I've built. Farmer's the first partaker of the crops. See, my business is this. My field is this. My life is this. This is where I get paid. This is where I prosper. That's what he's chosen. Amen? Amen. Satan's number one job is to prove it don't work. How's he going to prove it? See, you do it through your job, through your work. Amen? So when you start believing God, Satan says, see what you made out of, old boy. So as soon as you make a commitment to God or a declaration before God, or you pray to God, God, I believe you're my healer. I believe you who you say you are. Satan says, yeah, I'll show you what you believe. And so persecution comes for the word's sake. Mark 4, for the word's sake. And it hits us. Well, I thought God would do that, so it didn't work. Satan's got you. If he can beat you at the first game, you won't play the second game. You'll eventually get discouraged. You'll say, none of that works. But if you ever have a faith victory, you start getting dangerous. You start getting dangerous. Dear God, I know it works. Amen?
Yes.
So every day of our life, we're in this battle. It's going on behind the scenes. God and the devil fighting for the soul of man. Fighting for their soul, our mind. If we get born again on our way to heaven, Satan don't care if you go to heaven. It don't matter to him. It's on this earth where you're a problem. He don't want you winning on this earth and having victory on this earth, because you'll do the will of God on the earth. And you'll go and you'll get people saved, and you'll go and you'll start prospering, and you'll go and start bringing money to the house, and you'll go and start getting people healed. You'll go and start getting people saved. You'll start praying, and the devil says, as Howard says, before you were a number, now then you forced him to know your name. And he'll say, those people are trouble. Get their name. And try your best to stop them. And so then we get all this little warfare going on. But I got good news.
Hallelujah.
Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Whatsoever was born of God overcometh the world. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. I am more than a conqueror through him. Hallelujah. Who can separate me from the love of God? Stand up with me. Hallelujah.
Yes, glory.
Can't lose.
No.
And after a while, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Well, Jesus never was sick, but he had a lot of trouble from people. But he learned obedience. That's the same way we do. I remember I've told you this before. My first assignment from God is just the same thing your first assignment was. Go to church. Oh, but man, did he ever try to stop me from going to church? Dear God, not everything going good till Sunday morning. Car wouldn't start, be out of gas, almost have a flat tire, everything, you know. We had three women and me in a little trailer, one bathroom. And me, I was wound up like an 8-day clock anyway. I'd beep, 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 beep. Let's go, let's go. Oh, I wanted always to be early, you know. I got to go to church, I got to go to church. I got to go to church. I'd get in that little Volkswagen, here we'd go, and the tire would almost be flat, and the gas can on empty. The devil said, you're not going to make it. I said, devil, if we stop over here beside the road, I'm going to get one of them little girls, Kathy's going to get the other, and we're going to walk all the way to Candler, North Carolina. Might be Wednesday night before I get there, but you will not stop me from going to church. You get that straight. You see, I knew, thank God I had a revelation at the very beginning, who my enemy was. That's what you have to do. Find out who he is and defeat him. If Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord. We know you're for us, not against us. God be for us, who can be against us? You're not against us. You're not trying to stop us. You're not trying to stop us from prospering. You're not trying to stop us from being healed. You're not trying to stop us from walking in abundance. It's that old rascal devil. It's that old fallen Lucifer, that man called Satan. It's him and all his army that's arrayed against us. They're trying to stop us because he knows if we win that we will give thanks unto our God. He knows that we will praise him louder. He knows that we'll do more, give more, be more. He knows that. So he is trying to stop us. But we recognize him. We recognize him. You said don't be deceived. You told us that we should know him, know our devil. No, he's our personal devil arrayed against us, trying to defeat us. But thanks be unto God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. For we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise today. And we declare victory over everyone's life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Every problem shall fall beneath our feet. We shall see the destruction of our enemy. We shall see him fail. You've given us the privilege of watching the defeat of Satan in our life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, give the Lord a good hand. Praise the Lord. I didn't read any scripture. I'll read that next week. Okay, praise the Lord. Come on, PNA.